All right, we're going to start with chapter 27's questions, since we hadn't, I had them written up, but never printed them off. So we'll start with chapter 27's questions, then we'll get into chapter 29 tonight. Approximately how old was Isaac when the events, or when these events occurred, and how old was he when he died? Well, you'll have to look at the passage.
35, 20?
That's for when he died. That's the passage for when he died. Okay. So, he was 137 during the time of these events, chapter 27, and he was 180 when he died. Who did Isaac plan to bless? Whose idea was it to deceive Isaac? Rebecca. Was Jacob concerned with the good of Isaac or Esau when deceiving them was suggested?
No.
List what Rebecca and Jacob did in order to convince Isaac that Jacob was actually Esau.
They fetched the goat.
Well, they prepared the meat.
Got some of the goat hair and put on his.
Okay.
And clothed himself with Esau. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, prepared the meat, which all encompassing of going out, gathering, cooking, etc. Prepared the meat. Clothed him in Esau's clothing, put the goat's hair on his what?
On his hands and neck.
Hands and neck.
That's the hair again.
Very. All right. What part of the blessing that Jacob received from Isaac was similar to the promise God made to Rebekah before the twins were born? What was the similarity?
His brother would serve him.
All right. The specific reference is that the brethren of the one being blessed would serve the one who was being blessed. All right. So that was the similarity. God prophesied that the elder would serve the younger, and Jacob or Isaac's blessing was that Esau would serve Jacob, though he didn't realize that. What part of the blessing that Esau received was fulfilled during the reign of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah?
Edom.
All right. Edom overthrew the rule of Israel, or threw off the rule of Israel. And your references for looking that up are 2 Kings 8, 16 through 20. Okay. Chapter 29. Jacob journeys to Haran. All right. So we talked about last week that, of course, this is the area of Palestine where Jacob was living with Isaac and Esau and Rebekah. So he's going to travel to Beersheba, which isn't named Beersheba at the time, but he's going to travel there, and there he is going, or excuse me, to Bethel, and there he is going to see the vision, and he's then going to continue traveling, and he's going to take a path probably similar to this, over to this region where Haran is. And that's not an exact location because I didn't look it up before. Let's see. Similar map. Not similar map. Not on that map. Oh, wait, yeah, it is. All right, my bad. I'm wrong. Should have looked it up. First time ever I was wrong. Hey, Randis.
You said that was the second time?
The fact that he lied.
I wanted
that
first time.
Hey, Rand is up there. So, verse 1, chapter 29. So Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. Land of Mesopotamia is just the idea there. And he looked and saw a well in the field, and behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. Just so you know, give you an idea, the distance from here to there, from where chapter 28 leaves off, chapter 29 he arrives, is about 400 miles. Okay? So, keep in mind, wasn't going 70 miles an hour, and he wasn't in a plane. So 400 miles takes a little while to travel. Some time has passed here, but he is nearing Haran, and as he will find out, he's close enough that he's within the vicinity of those who would be tending their sheep who were dwellers in Haran. So he sees the well in the field, he comes to it, and there's three flocks of sheep lying by it. So the idea is these shepherds have come. They've come early. They've come because it probably when they rolled the stone away, first come, first served. As far as the sheep getting to have water and being brought back into the pasture. So they've arrived and they're waiting. The indication seems to be that maybe the shepherds had all come to an agreement that instead of continually taking the stone away from the well for the protection of the water, for the convenience of the use of the well and to avoid maybe water rights issues and that sort of thing, they would all water their sheep at the same time. And so they waited till everyone arrived before the stone was taken from the well. All right. So, verse 4, Jacob said to them, "My brethren, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran." Then he said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." So he said to them, "Is he well?" And they said, "He is well. And look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep." Then he said, that being Jacob, "Look, it is still high day. It is not time for the cattle or the sheep to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them." But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep." All right, so he comes upon these shepherds and these three flocks. He asks them where they're from. They say, "Haran." All right, "Hey, I'm here. Finally arrived." So he asked them concerning Nahor, "Do you know him?" And that he asked, you know, "Are you aware of this individual?" And they say, "Yes, we know him, and he is well," after Jacob asked. They say, "Behold, look, the flock coming towards the well, the daughter of Laban is the shepherdess." All right, so Rachel is coming with the flock of Laban. She's arriving at the well. And so Jacob again addresses them. He says, "What are you doing? Why have you gathered the sheep together? It's the middle of the day." All right. The idea is you would typically, if you were going to water the sheep, if you were going to bring them to water, you would do so early in the day. You would allow them to go out to graze, to go out into the pasture. You would put them out to pasture. And then at night, you would again bring them, gather them back in together to be put away. But it's the middle of the day. What are you doing? Why are they gathered together now? Let alone sitting here just doing nothing. Okay? So that's the motivation behind the question, is this was not normal procedure for being a shepherd. This was not what would have been common. And so he asked them about it. And he says, why not just, you know, water the sheep and go feed them? Put them back out to pasture. So they say, we can't because we have to wait till all the flocks are gathered together, till everyone in Haran comes out, and we do it all at once. So then we have the shift in focus from what they were doing to Rachel arriving. Verse 9. Now while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and that he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father. Okay, so she arrives, she begins to approach the well, and instead of waiting for all the flocks to arrive, Jacob just goes and he removes the stone from the well. We're not told if he had any help. We're not told how big the stone is. We're not told any of that information. No sense in even guessing concerning it. But what we are very sure about is Jacob is really glad to finally be here. He's really glad to have actually arrived, based upon his reaction once he actually meets Rachel. He kisses Rachel. Now this kissing of Rachel is the common family greeting of that day and time and civilization. This is not a romantic kiss or anything of that nature. It is the greeting of the day. Okay? So he kisses her and lifted up his voice and wept. Pretty good indication of the length of the journey and the expectation of arriving. Okay? This wasn't, oh, I left last week, glad to be home, or, you know, glad to be here, kind of travel. Okay? So, verse 12, and Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and that he was Rebekah's son, so she ran and told her father. All right? Same reaction, interestingly, that Rebekah had when Abraham's servant arrived, back chapter 24. Matter of fact, there's some interesting parallels between this situation and chapter 24. You remember when the servant of Abraham came to look for a wife for Isaac? Where did he go to? The well outside the city. All right? So, now, whether or not this is the same well as before, we don't know. But interesting parallel, he goes to the well, finds a wife for Isaac. Jacob goes to the well, finds a wife for himself, and will be intent on having her as his wife as time goes on. It is also interesting to view the contrast from Abraham's servant to Jacob. Now, we're making this mention based solely upon what is recorded of Jacob's actions. There may be more that's not recorded, we can't say, but based upon what is recorded, Abraham's servant arrives at the well, and what does he do first?
Praise.
He prays, asking God to deliver to him, as it were, the wife that God wanted for Isaac. Okay? So his focus is, I'm here on behalf of my master. I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a task. And that task is to find a wife for my master's son. And God, you deliver the acceptable wife. You deliver who you want him to marry. Okay? No indication Jacob has such mindset or actions, though he was there for the exact same reason. All right? He was sent there to find a wife. That was his reason for going. Okay? Besides the justification of him living that long to actually be married. Okay? You look like you have a comment.
Well, I was just about to make the point that you made that there were two different purposes. I think the main focuses, the servant's main focus was the wife, because the servant was given a task. Jacob was sent there. And so there is that difference to consider that marriage may not have been the first thing on Jacob's mind, because he was glad the journey was over and to be with his mother's family. And not as much as the servant who was, this is my task. I pray the Lord helps me find who I'm looking for and goes about the task.
But there's also a contrast, again, between the two situations, where the servant was sent by Abraham's command and arrived and then asked for the Lord to be with him. In contrast, where as Jacob is leaving, God promises to be with him. Not only promises to be with him, but promises the seed and the continuation of the seed covenant and the things going along with it. So both of them will receive an assurance from God that he's with them. But the servant will be specifically looking for that as he arrives. Okay? So, just some things to think about. Interesting aspects of comparison there. Verse 13. That it came to pass when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. So he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, surely you are my bone and my flesh. And he stayed with him for a month. Okay? So, she runs home. She tells Laban. He seemingly sends, excuse me, for Jacob to come. And Jacob reports to him everything that has occurred. There's no specific indication one way or another that he gave him the full story as to why he was there, that being the deception and all of that involved with Esau. But he recounts to him the things that brought him to Haran. Laban's reception of him is very warm, very cordial. That which doesn't necessarily give you a clear view of Laban as time goes on. Okay? So he says, surely you are my bone and my flesh. And he, Jacob, stayed with him for a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be? Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Okay? So, a month in, Laban says to Jacob, you're a relative. You're kinfolk. You shouldn't be serving me for nothing. What can I pay you? You know, what can be your wages? Now, most of us wish we had a job where the boss asked us, so, what should I pay you? We just wish he wouldn't wait a month to ask. Okay, so, he asked. Now, granted, in this process, he's been there for a month, yes, but Laban's provided everything he's needed. He's eating at Laban's table. He's sleeping in Laban's house, seemingly. He's dwelling off of Laban, so it's not like he's in need or want. But Laban says, you cannot serve me as a relative. You cannot serve me for nothing. So name your wages. Now, Laban has two daughters, all right? So the older one's Leah. The younger one is Rachel. Now, there's a great deal of discussion, disagreement concerning this idea of Leah's eyes being delicate. The Hebrew word simply means soft. Some believe it means that she has her eyes were very stunning in appearance based upon the Oriental Mesopotamian view of the facial appearance of a woman. But yet that her physical appearance was not rivaling that of Rachel. Others take it to mean that the appearance of her eyes and therefore her face was not that which was impressive, and therefore there's another contrast between just the physical form of Leah and the physical form of Rachel. I don't know. I'm no Hebrew scholar, and if the Hebrew scholars can't agree, then I'm lost. So you can feel free to understand it as best you will. Spend your own time studying it. I don't think it's a matter that will put you in heaven or hell. So she had delicate eyes. That I know.
And we've been reading that for a long time, so why not leave it alone?
There you go. All right. But contrast, Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. All right? Rachel was stunning. Leah was not. Doesn't say what she was. It's just that she wasn't what Rachel was. Okay? Now, we need to be careful about the ascribing to Jacob that his only reason for loving Rachel was because she was more beautiful, okay? The passage never says that. The passage does indicate the difference between the two of them in physical appearance, but it does not say Jacob loved Rachel because she was more beautiful than Leah, okay? Trying to see if there was anything else I wanted to mention. So the agreement. Now notice all those individuals that you always hear about, say back in the good old days, there was a time when two men could shake hands and agree on something, and you never had to write up a contract and everybody kept their word. Not in Jacob's day. Matter of fact, very precise definition and description of the outcome of this contract. Younger daughter, Rachel. All right? No mistaking the intent of the agreement for older daughter, Leah. Okay? But, as we all know, 7 years later, doesn't quite work out that way. Okay? So, they made an agreement, expectation that family, they keep their word. So, Laban says, it's better that I give her to you than to another. Stay with me. All right, so Jacob served 7 years, verse 20, for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Now, this isn't the same thing as time flies when you're having fun, okay? Time flies when you're anticipating marrying the woman you love, okay? That's the idea. It just seemed only a few days. You don't whisper very well. Verse 21.
That's true, though.
I'm sorry.
Verse 21. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled that I may go into her." Now, had Laban seemingly been the upright, honest individual that he should have been, Jacob shouldn't have had to have been coming back 7 years later and saying, "All right, time's up." Laban should have been saying to Jacob, you've met our agreement, time's up. Now let's gather together and fulfill the remainder of the covenant. But he doesn't. Okay? Jacob comes to Laban, says the 7 years has been completed. Give me my wife, or my days are fulfilled. Notice that I may go into her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. All right, so he doesn't put up any argument, gathers people together, everything looks just like it ought to. Now, chapter 27, when Jacob went in to Isaac, was it all set up where everything seemed exactly like it ought to be? Yeah. Yeah. That's the same way Laban is.
Deceit runs in the family.
Not only does deceit run in the family, but Jacob's going to spend a whole lot of time learning that what goes around comes around. And God's willing to allow things to happen to you as you do them to others. Okay? So, such will clearly be the case during Jacob's life. So, Laban prepares everything, makes a feast. Came to pass, verse 23, in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to Jacob, and he went in to her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Why, was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" Okay? How do you think you're justified in deceiving me? Well, Jacob, how justified were you in deceiving Isaac? All right? It always seems as though the people willing to mistreat others don't want to be mistreated in return. I think that's why the golden rule says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." And also, Matthew 7:1, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." It says, you want to measure something for somebody else? You make sure you measure it for them the way you want them to measure it for you. Because you're going to get it back the same way you get it. Okay? And that's exactly what happens to Jacob. He is going to deceive, and he is going to be deceived in return. So he comes to Laban and says, this was not our agreement. This is not what I worked 7 years for. Some of us, I imagine all of us, would be disappointed if we got finished with the marriage ceremony and found out that we got the wrong spouse. But imagine if you had spent 7 years working to where you could get the right spouse, and you got the wrong spouse, okay? Most of us didn't even know the person for 7 years before we got married, let alone work for their father for 7 years to where we could get married, all right? There's a little bit of anticipation, an expectation that goes into this whole thing. When you see Jacob's reaction, I think he held himself together pretty well. Certainly better than most of us would have.
I don't know how he didn't know. Is this some kind of custom to have a baby?
Yeah, there
It was custom during this time in this civilization to, or in this type of society, that the woman would have been covered, or her face would have been covered with a veil. And not simply the idea of a thin sheer veil. Think of Islamic women and the veils that they wear. That custom and that usage of veils has been many, many, many generations. It has not changed. And so it would have been such that she would have worn that. Quite often it was the case that any time she was in the presence of a man, she had the veil on.
Even her, okay? How did he kiss her?
Maybe he drank too
much. He didn't say he kissed her on the lips.
Well, yeah.
No, it didn't.
What?
Grady had his hand up.
Huh?
Grady. What did you say, Grady?
Another 7 years.
Yes, he would serve another 7 years.
That was a custom.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
And been for years.
Mm-hmm.
David should have known that.
Yeah. Yep.
Before he made the contract.
Yep.
You should check.
Check the fine print. Grady?
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
He gets another 7 years.
Yep.
The first 7 was like, seemed like a few days.
Uh-huh.
You're like, the other 7 is going to seem like a few days.
Nope.
Especially when you went from 0 to 2 wives in a week.
He saw Rachel at some point, and he has to know the difference between Rachel and Leah. So is there a different veil that is worn on the wedding day? I mean, how?
Well, it says that she started
thinking about this, though. So the custom is they always wear a veil.
It says it came to pass that in the morning, so I'm assuming it's dark.
There's not a full explanation as to why he did not recognize her. But the reality is, it's very clear that he did not, and there is something between the night before and the morning that makes the difference. Okay? Now, bear in mind that the general, because this feast isn't over. Quite often during this day and time, feasts were such, marriage feasts, that they lasted a week. And there are different aspects of this that honestly you can go do your own research about as far as what transpired then and so on and so forth. But whatever is the case, at the point at which the very first night is over, first morning's up, Jacob realizes what has been done.
So is this, would that have been the actual wedding ceremony, or is there a betrothal process that takes place during that week that then maybe when he went into the room or whatever, it was like the Boaz and Ruth situation?
No idea.
Okay. Because that could explain why he had no clue.
No idea. All right.
Well, you know, back in 24, when Isaac first saw Rebecca, before he, it says in 65, and the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore, she took a veil and covered
him. Mm-hmm.
So she was not covered at
Correct.
First, and maybe that was the case.
And that is an interesting point, because she wasn't covered being with the servant, but as soon as the one who was to be her husband mm-hmm. was present, she covered herself.
Yeah.
So contrast there, which we would think would be the opposite. All right, let's get a little bit more before we get finished. Verse 26, Laban said, "It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years." Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, so he gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went in to Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban still another 7 years. Now, to the question of did the second 7 seem as short as the first 7, the answer is very plainly no. And here's why. Not only is he not anticipating the marriage, he's now got two wives who are not going to get along, two wives that are disagree, And before he's done with that 7 years, he's going to have 4 wives. So, no. Yeah, and 11 children by the end of 13 years later. Okay? So, in 13 years, he will go from no wives to 4 wives and 11 children. All right? And a whole lot of family struggle. So, all right, we're going to pick up in verse 31 next week and continue on. Be reading chapter 30 as well.